fear, yea, what vehement desire, yea, what zeal, yea, what revenge. In all things you have approved yourselves to be clear in this matter. Hebrews 11, verse 7 gives us this. By faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. Last week we talked about how a little indignation at your sin is important. You need to be angry at your sin in order to really purge yourself of it. Tonight I want to talk about fear. A little fear is okay. God programs certain fears into our lives to keep us safe, right? Many children, they experience a fear of the dark. Many of adults hang on to that fear of the dark. Why? Because there are predators out there in the dark that like to eat, right? There are carnivores out there in the dark that will come get you. So when you're wandering around the woods at night and you get that thrill of fear up your spine, that's okay. Keeps you alert because there might be something out there coming to get you. There might be a bear out there or something like that. It's good to have a little fear. So we have a little bit of fear of the dark. Some people have a natural fear of heights. Why? Because falling from great distances is detrimental to your health, right? Little fear is good, right? Otherwise, we would be taking risks that don't make any sense. Now, of course, we also don't want to go too far in the other way, to where we're afraid of everything. And we don't go out there and we don't do the things that we're supposed to do because we're inordinately afraid of something we could keep in check. We talk about this here in Michigan. There's not a lot of venomous animals. Anybody here, before you put your shoes on, you looked inside your shoe and made sure there wasn't a scorpion in that thing? Anybody here, you checked your shoes this morning for a black widow spider? Some states you got to do that. In Michigan, we don't got to bother. Isn't that exciting? Isn't that nice? I'll shovel some snow so I don't find a rattler in my backyard. I'm perfectly okay with that. But even in those states, people, they do what? They lock their windows at night, they check their shoes in the morning, and they go about their day. We shouldn't let fear control us, but a little fear will heighten us up, get us focused, understanding that there is a risk. Yesterday, we took the boys out, took the whole family out to that farm in Frankenmuth. A little bit pricey for what we got out of it, but it was fun. It was fun. That's pretty much the rhyme and reason for everything down in Frankenmuth. A little bit pricier than it should be, but we had a good time. And we were going through, and there was this barn that we were going through, and we were stopped at the entrance because there was a mom having a fuss with her toddler. And what had happened was the toddler had her little hand inside the pony enclosure. This little mini pony had her hand inside there, and mom was wrestling inside this thing. And I, oh no, what's going on? She wrestled the glove right out of the little pony's mouth. And what had happened was the baby reached in, the pony grabbed and would have grabbed a finger, but got the mitten instead and tore the mitten off. Baby wasn't crying, baby wasn't upset, but mom sure was. And I go, wow, and I'm sitting back there going, wow, they should put a sign up. I'm not sure if that horse, and I don't blame animals. If animals bite humans, it's mostly our fault. You shouldn't put it out there with a lot of humans, right? Some of us are that way, right? Some of us don't like a lot of humans around us reaching in, touching our faces unasked for, right? A lot of us are like that, so I don't blame the animals in this situation. I just question whether or not a family setting like this was a good spot to stress this poor thing out. I go, they should have put a sign up at least. And folks, I kid you not, I get up there, there was two signs. One of them says, Santa's little bodyguard. Do not touch. Do not put your hand inside. I can't remember the word that they used, but don't put your hand inside there. That mom let her kid do both. And I go, well, Santa's little bodyguard took care of it. Right? He did exactly what was promised on the sign. When we talk about fear, that's what I'm talking about. Here's this warning. And I'm going to heed that warning. I'm not going to reach in there. I'm going to show some respect for the thing in this space, right? If Santa's little bodyguard doesn't like people reaching for him, I'm going to keep all 10 of my digits over here. Respect for the horse, no bites for me, right? I save myself. I found the perfect way, the absolute perfect way to not get a venomous bite from a snake. You want to know how I do it? I don't keep venomous animals in my house. As it turns out, it's done wonders, right? I live far from them. I'm not afraid of snakes. I like looking at them. I like seeing them at the zoo. I like, you know, if we were kids, we were wandering around the woods, we saw them out there, we'd all kind of sit there together and, oh, that's cool. But you know what I never felt the need to do? Pick that bad boy up, see if he'd bite. Remember Steve Irwin? I swear that guy did everything he could to get bit by something. Oh, look at that. I'm going to pick it up. You know, just the stuff he would do. We need to have respect for things. Now, let's go ahead and take a look at the book of Hebrews here. What is it that Noah did? Noah obeyed out of fear. Now, again, we want to understand the word fear here. Noah was not quivering in his boots, afraid that God would destroy him. But he did acknowledge that it was a perfectly capable thing that God could do. It's a possible thing. God is literally talking about flooding all the earth to end the vicious sin that is taking place. God gave him a warning. I'm flooding the earth. Build an ark. And Noah heard God. He looked at the sin going on around him, and he got to building an ark. Because he wasn't having that sin. He wasn't going to give up his freedom in the Lord. He wasn't going to give up this salvation of the Lord for that sin. And he certainly wasn't hanging around to test to see what God would do. Folks, we need to hear what God has to say. And we need to obey it. Knowing full well whatever he says will be the consequence of that sin will indeed be the consequence of that sin. There are many parents out there, they do this technique with their kids. All right, you have to count to three. One, two, two and a half, two and three quarters. Now I mean it, I'm really going to do it. I'll spank your bottom. Two and, where was I? Doesn't matter. Two. All right, no, really. I'll take all your games away, I'll spank you. Two, the kid's just still sitting there going, you're not going to do nothing. You're not going to do nothing. See, when my parents got to counting, we learned. You don't let mom and dad get to counting. You don't let mom and dad get to counting to two. If you hear one, you better run faster. Right? So that's what we learned. Because mom and dad will do it. God doesn't make empty threats. God doesn't do gotchas. God doesn't sit there and say things to get you to be motivated psychologically with words he don't mean. He plays honestly. What he says, he will do. Noah obeyed because he feared. So as we're looking through to this verse here, by faith Noah being warned of God, we have been warned. We know the consequences of sin. We look at this world out here and the things that they're doing. We know the consequences coming this world's way. We know what happens to those who die lost. We know what happens to countries and states and cities that parade their ungodliness out in public. We see what happens. We know what happens. We are warned what would happen, and we see it played out every day. We need to take heed of the warnings. Some of us, we get confused about the warnings. Well, all right, well, what I'm doing isn't as bad as that. It's still a warning. Still a warning. It is still something that we need to be cautious about. These are not potentials. These are not, hey, this might happen. This will happen. If you do not repent of your sin, you will in fact be sent to hell. And that is not a good thing. It is not while all my friends are there. It's not a while I'm there, I'll be in good company. You won't recognize each other for the busyness of your pain. It's not comfortable. It's not wonderful. What if people that love God, those that are saved, that continue on in sin, we get the chastisement? Or in cases where God no longer wants to chastise us, He brings us home. You're not acting right. Yeah, I'm sure there are story upon stories. I didn't look any up to tell you of ambassadors who represent their countries and they go to foreign nations and they act like fools and their country recalls them. Says, oh no, you're embarrassing us. Get over here. Right? You racked up a big gambling debt. You crashed your car. You're drunk in public. You need to come back. You're embarrassing us. I've seen a few cases where I've wondered, was God at the end of His patience with them? And He brought them home. We need to be cautious. We need to be smart about what we're doing. There are sins that are done that will bring immediate change to our lives. There are things that we can do that while there seems to be no victim, including us, God brings down judgment upon us. And yes, we have His forgiveness. Yes, we have His love. Yes, we have those things. But there are things that we do, things that we sow in the ground that we cannot unsow. We have to wait for it to be reaped out. We have to wait for it to grow. So God warned, hey, sin is taking place. And I've had it up to here with it. And I'm not putting up with it. You see, we think that the tolerance for behavior belongs to us. That we get to decide when things are too far. We think that we get to decide individually. We think we get to decide as a society. When in all reality, we need to keep our eyes on God because He's the one that would come to get us. He's the one who has the final say. The very same God that poured out this flood on all these people that have done awful and disgusting things in His eyes was the same hand, the same God that stayed the judgment upon Nineveh when they repented. You see, God works out justice. God makes the decision. So when He throws out a warning, you had better listen to it. You had better listen to it. He warned, sin is taking place. There is punishment coming. Talking in the realm of conviction, and that's what this series is about. What do I do once conviction is here? How do I make it last? How do I make it stick? You need to be afraid of what sin is doing in your life. You need to be a little concerned about the punishment that came from it. There was a kid, I don't think he was part of our class, but a teacher was telling me this story that there was a kid that would stand up in class and he would do something to just embarrass himself. And it would get him kicked out of school. And it got him kicked out of a couple schools. Finally, they locked the kid up in a, I don't want to use the word asylum, but they locked him up for psychological review because what he was doing was outlandish, inappropriate, and wrong. So they wanted to have him for review. And the teacher went in to go see him just to check on him, see how he was doing. And the doctors let the teacher come see him. And the kid sat there and he says, well, I really wish that none of this had happened. And the teacher says, really? He goes, yeah. He goes, well, what did you do to get in here? Well, I kept doing this thing. Well, why did you do the thing? I thought it was funny. Well, didn't it bring you heartache? Yeah, but I still thought it was funny. But it got you here. Yeah. Yeah, I wish it didn't. And folks, that's us. As you and me. Well, aren't you sorry for what it did to your life? Yeah. Aren't you sad for what it did to somebody else's life? Yeah. You gonna stop doing it? We'll see. We'll see. I'll give it my best. I'll try. I'll give it a shot. I'm not really good at following through on these things. I'll try. We should be a little nervous, about the effects sin has in our lives, we should be a little fearful about what sin rings through in our lives and what God does because of it. What God also says here is, Noah, there's one way out. He warned him. Build an ark. You've protected yourself from the sin. Now protect yourself from what's going to happen next. You know what? You can protect yourself from some jail time by never robbing a bank. Am I right? Amen? You can protect yourself from accusation by setting up barriers in your life to make sure that no one feels uncomfortable. You can avoid temptation to do this or that by avoiding the things that bring temptation. Right? I was talking to someone recently. Hey, listen, I thought you were doing really, really well. I found out that you went to dinner with so-and-so. Didn't so-and-so used to go with this guy and get into all sorts of trouble? Yeah. I thought you weren't going to hang around that person anymore. Well, yeah, but it was my choice to do those things. And, he didn't really make me do those things. Yeah, dummy, that's how that works. Being around people doesn't make decisions for you. You get around people and you make your own decisions. That's the problem. There's one way out of this. We got to protect ourselves from that sin coming back. We got to protect ourselves from the conclusions or from the consequences of that sin. And the only way to do it is what? Protect yourself. Lord, where is it that you want me to walk? What is it that you want me to do? Because I don't want to be anywhere near this thing. There was one of those wild exotic animal owners. He had himself what he called a farm. I really don't think that in Toledo, Ohio is a good place to have a wild big cat farm, but that's just my opinion. This guy, he ended up in one of the cages. He had died. There was some mystery around it. It was a really interesting story, I guess. But what got me the most is that all of the cages for all of his big cats were open. And some of the animals were spotted in Monroe County, Michigan. That's where my parents live. Now, here's the thing. I'm like a lot of you. I see a lost dog poster, a lost cat something. I keep my eye out for a little bit, right? Maybe that cat is around here somewhere. I like to keep a lookout, right? Because if it was my dog, I would hope somebody would do the same. Just take a look. You know what I didn't want to go do? I didn't want to go driving around looking for this guy's lost tigers. I think he had a puma or something. Like, he just had animals, man. I was not curious to go anywhere near that area. They brought in some really awesome people to come look for those. I wasn't interested in running into them nor the animals they were hunting for. No, thank you. Some of us were careless. You see, what Noah should have done in this moment, I do believe that he did, he should have separated himself even further from the sinful ways of the people around him, and he should have focused more on building this ark. We call that progressive sanctification or separation in theology, where there is a mindset and an education that is evolved from this society, this humanism, this wicked entertainment stuff. We leave that behind and we focus more on the stuff that will protect us, on the stuff that will march or guide us and help us. There is one way out. In Noah's case, it was the ark. In our case, before all of this, it was salvation. Today, what will save us from the doom of the world around us is for us to live sanctified lives. And it helps if we have a proper respect for the sin that is out there. For the sin that's out there. You know how many pastors are sitting in jails right now because of disgusting things they've done? Because of disgusting things they've held out, they've hid. What, isn't that a shame that somebody who should know better is sitting there with people who don't care to do better, doing the same crimes they did? Right? Be it financial or something else, These guys, they're in there. How many lives have been ruined or wrecked by a child of God who refused to separate out from sin and the ways of this world? How many churches, how many people have suffered because its members did not have the proper fear of this world and proper fear of the Lord? They don't respect it. We see in this verse, what was it? He received the warning by faith. Noah, being warned of God of things not as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house. Now again, we're not saying that for the many, 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 many years that Noah was building the boat, his hands were shaking the whole time. He's not sitting there terrified going, oh no, God's going to get me. Every time maybe the sun would darken just a little bit. Oh no. Now, what did he do? Nope, I trust. If that's what he's going to do, that's what he's going to do. And I got to get this thing done now. He was moved by fear. How many of us, we know what sin does to us. We know the potential it could bring into our marriages, our families, our churches, our homes. We know the dangers of it, yet we are still playing with it. You don't respect it. You got your hand in the pen there with Santa's little bodyguard, and you're looking for that cute picture because it's the holidays and you need it, right? You think you're getting something out of it, and then you're the one to sit there and cry when your finger gets bit. Sin does not play, and neither does God. I used this illustration one time of why people get angry when the pastor preaches on sin, mostly because the pastor is up here shooting at sin, and if we're hanging on to it, it's going to sting a little when it gets hit. You understand? Well, how dare he say that? How dare he talk about that kind of music? How dare he talk about that kind of behavior? How dare he talk about that kind of entertainment or that kind of philosophy? That is too far. He should not be. I absolutely should. Because it is far better for us to understand the weight of our sin than for me to sit here and talk about only the love of God and let sin get you. Because that's what happens. You ever notice that? All of a sudden you see where maybe it's an atmosphere in a church, maybe it's an atmosphere in a preacher. We stop talking about sin. And everybody's happy because church services are a lot less stressful. But after a while, the attitude towards sin gets less and less. All of a sudden now we're more compassionate, we say, about sin than we should be. And being compassionate towards sin, we do what? We give in to it. It becomes okay. Well, I don't believe that. Look at secular Christianity today. Look at modern day Christianity today. And tell me I'm wrong. It becomes a Burger King Christianity where you can have it your way as long as you're willing to pay the price. As long as you come in and you're bringing friends and you raise your hands during the rock songs and you put the money in the plate and we're fine. We don't got to talk about sin. We only talk about the things that make you feel good. We'll tickle your ears. We'll become a vein jangling noise. We're fine with it as long as you show up. What happens to those people? They suffer. Because God doesn't play with sin and sin won't play with you. It always has an effect. Noah had the ability to recognize what was happening. He recognized it. We talked recently about Aaron who sat there and watched the Red Sea part. Aaron who sat there threw down the rod and saw it turn into a snake. Aaron who sat there as all the plagues took place. Aaron saw it all. And he still, at the smallest pressing from these people, had them snap off their earrings and they could make the golden calf. Just the smallest provocation. Even blamed them. What a mess. Noah didn't do that. Noah looked over at the hordes of people and the destruction that was happening in their homes, the destruction that was happening in their nations and in their lives. The way that their sin was it was just poisonous. He looked up at God and what God had to say. He took God seriously. He took God seriously. And folks, it's not that he saw how bad the world was, therefore he could take God seriously. He took God seriously, therefore he could see how bad the world was. He took God seriously. That's what we need to do. He recognized what happens. He didn't defend it because he loved the people in it. He didn't sit there and say, well, God, it can't all be all that bad. He sat there and he built that ark. He separated himself from both what was happening in the world and what God was going to do to the world. Just like we need to separate ourselves, push ourselves away from it. We see that in recognizing what happened, he then was able to make a decision, made a few decisions, honestly. If you look at Noah's life, he decided, number one, I will obey God. Get the gopher wood. Let's start building tools. Write down what it is that God said. Let's build some plans. Well, Noah, this has never been seen before. Well, so is everything until someone makes it. Let's go. Bending the wood and taking the time and creating ways of securing things and making pitch and pitching it all throughout and getting all the rooms together for all the animals will be. Well, no one's ever tried to pen a whole bunch of animals together before, Noah. How are you going to do that? I sure don't know, but Lord said to do it, so here we go. You know, I like going down to the Ark Museum. We don't know if any of that's true. We don't know if they built it like that. I like to think that it's got to be close, right? Best case scenario, it's got to be. I like going down there. I like seeing it. But we don't know how he did it. I do know this, though. He did it. He did it. Why? Because God told him to. And you don't question God. You don't question that knowledge. You don't question that wisdom. You don't question that understanding. Because, folks, we need to see God for who he is. He has divine and firm control. So Noah considered it. He said, I will obey God. He decided in his heart, I will not get swept up in this tide. For all the people out there disobeying God, all those people out there that'll have nothing to do with what's going on over here, I'm not going to go their way. I'm not going to be the one to quit on God. I'm not going to be the one who sits there and says, Lord, this is the 2,000th time I've come for forgiveness, and I'd like for you to forgive me again. We decide I'm not going to be that person. I'm going to take care of business. I won't get caught up in that tide. And folks, that's exactly what sin can feel like. It'll sweep you up. They talk about riptides out there in the ocean. You can be out there at a certain depth, and the pull will just rip you down. Many people think we can play with sin and we can play with sin. Oh, I'm a strong swimmer. I took state. I've been swimming in lakes all my life. And you get out there into the ocean and the ocean shows you her cruelty. That's what sin does. Oh, I can take it. I'm cool. I'm tough. I'm all right. Hey, listen, everybody else can do it. Right? For everybody out there, every now and then you meet the kind of guy that drinks so hard, he says, alcohol doesn't even have an effect on me. I could drink gallons of beer, don't do anything to me. You fool. You forget how science works. It may not be getting you high, but it poisons your liver. It is boxing your kidneys. It is killing your brain cells. It is shrinking your brain. It's doing all the things that we know that alcohol does to you scientifically. You fool. You're not getting out of it what you think you can get out of it, but it's still doing something. Well, I can do this, I can do that, and I'll be all right. We have no guarantees how long we can get a hold of something before something gets a hold of us. We don't get to choose. So he says, I will not get swept up in that tide. He decided not to ignore what God is telling him. What is God telling you? What has he been telling you that perhaps you are ignoring? What warning signs are going off that you're ignoring? On my escape, I've got a tire pressure light that's been on since I got it. And the reason why is we took the tires off of one escape and put it on the other. I bought brand new tires for one escape, and they fit. but they weren't quite the same tire as the other one. They're not doing any damage, not doing any wrong. I've had it checked out from a couple different people. They say I'm good to do it, but it's going to kick off this sensor. And I go, okay. And you know what? I ignore that thing all the time. And then one day you get out and you notice that one of the tires are low, and that warning was actually, for the first time ever, accurate, right? Right? A stopped clock is right at least, you know, twice a day. And I was, oh no! So you get the pump out of the garage and you pump the air back up and you watch it and you go, okay. But I gotta start respecting that warning a little bit. We need to respect that warning. We did that in the van. We were driving down the road on the van. The light went bing. I go, I need to pull over and take a look at that. A few seconds later, we're pulling over to look at that right now. Huh. Didn't give me a lot of time. Sometimes you've got lots of time with the warning. You might even be able to play around a little bit on the other side of the warning. Sometimes that warning gets you fast. You know what I've learned? Respect God's warnings. Respect them. Don't do that, okay? I don't have to, you know, I don't have to look at others. I don't have to do that. And I like this illustration here my pastor used to use. You know about trash cans, right? Anybody here, you've heard about trash cans? Anybody here, you believe that they stink? Anybody here had to put your head in there to find out? No, that's common sense, isn't it? I put my head in a garbage can and it stinks, right? So when I see some of God's warnings out there, I don't have to go out and find an example to decide if I'm going to obey it or not, right? Noah didn't sit there. It says, things not seen yet. He didn't. Well, I've never seen a raindrop. I tell you what, I'm going to start building that ark when I see a raindrop. I'll start seeing where God says that this is wrong when I start seeing it hurt people. You don't have to. And by the way, that's the fastest way to where you could be the example. That's it. And by the way, when you do have examples, it's very important for you to pay attention to those examples. Because how silly is it to be the second person caught in a trap? How silly. What we need to do is take heed to God's warnings, respect them, give them credit. We need to trust God. Not only did he make the decision or several decisions, but he followed through with a decision. Hey, when conviction comes and you've got to serve the Lord, when conviction comes and you've got to knock off sin, when conviction comes and you know that there's something that must be done, do you ever sit there and write out what should be done? To where you know what starting it looks like and you know what finishing it looks like. Because I think that's where we get stuck sometimes. How do you know you're done with it? How do you know you're working on it if you don't have a to-do list? The very first thing I'm going to do is I'm going to fix this thing going on in my prayer life, fix this thing going on with my reading and studying life. When I am in that situation, these are the things I'm going to practice, and I'm going to slowly ramp myself up to where this thing is gone out of my life. I'm going to put this, and then when I get good at that, I'm going to do that. Now, some things you just got to stop wholeheartedly. There is no slowly weaning yourself off of sin. If it's sin, you need to drop it. We're talking about dealing with not picking it back up, right? It's very simple. Right now, none of us, at least you shouldn't be, are committing sin. The trick is to develop something between here and the next sin to keep it far from us. To keep it far, as far down the road as physically possible. As physically possible. So what does that look like? What do I need to do? What are the steps? For Noah, it was very simple. First, we lay out the design, then the frame, then we connect everything together, we build the rooms, the infrastructure, we get it all settled, then God brings the animals. I get the animals come into the ark. I get them all situated and comfortable. God brings the rain. Very simple. Well, listen, I got to give up this sin. All right, well, the first things first we need to see is how is this temptation getting to you? Shut it down. Well, shutting it down is going to be complicated. Great, get out your notepad. Let's write a list. We don't understand how strong the temptation is. Awesome. Let's get some 3x5 cards. Write down some verses for you to consider when that temptation comes your way. We need to put a plan together. We need to have some steps. We need to show that respect. He followed through with his decision. When building the ark was hard, and no doubt, never having built a boat before, never having seen a boat before, there were times where it got difficult on Noah. There might have been some complaints and some cranky days on the work site. There may have been some difficulty getting the wood. There could have been difficulty with people in the area mocking and jeering them and teasing them for all this stuff. It was hard, but he did it anyway. When building the ark was questioned, he kept going. Because no matter what people said, and no matter how he felt, the conclusion was still coming. The consequence was still coming. That rain was still coming. Well, now hold on, is it really sin if people have kind of caught up to my lifestyle, and I kind of believe this, and it feels like it's freedom, and everybody kind of agrees? You know, is that still wrong? Rain's still coming. Rain, if the whole world agrees with you, the rain is still coming. Well, who's this God person anyway? I don't believe in God. Still coming. Jesus Christ is still coming again. That judgment where the sinners stand before God, that is still coming. Our judgment where we stand before God for the things that we have done to serve Him is still coming. How long do we have in this race? Some of you sit there and think, well, I don't have very much longer. You might be surprised. Wouldn't it be fun if in this congregation we had the first 150-year-old? You know, y'all, some of you tease me about doing your funerals, but for all you know, you could be doing mine. I'm real clumsy. You don't know. I don't know. What do I have? I have today. I have this moment to serve and to please Him. Well, I don't know, brother. You're kind of young. If I start living that way, to where I've got plenty of time, you know what slobs like me do? We take as much time as possible. We slow down. I need to go on the quick. I need some focus. I need to know how much time I need to know that I don't know how much time I really have, and I need to live like it. Just the same as all of us. We need to live seriously and on purpose for the Lord, knowing full well that we don't know when that rain's going to start. We don't know when judgment comes for us. He followed through with a decision. And what he did is he built the ark. He built the ark. He did the thing. God told him to do something, conviction fell upon him, he was moved by fear, and he did what he was supposed to do. Verse 7 again, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. He did what he was supposed to do, yes, because God commanded him to. But you see what other reason why he did it? To save his family. To save his family. Listen, the things that I do wrong in my life, whether publicly or privately, affects the people sitting in that back pew. On this side. Affects the rest of the church too, but directly it hurts them. You know, I can sit there, I can smile, I can be pleasant, I can be the best person on earth, go home and be an absolute terror to my family. And that affects them. If I live clean in public, but I'm the meanest and dirtiest of sinners at home, I'm teaching them something. If church becomes something we can miss, it becomes something we can ignore. If respect and fear of the Lord is something that we only do when people are looking, it's going to telegraph. And they're going to learn. Now, I've got this theory sometimes. I think kids are smarter than us, at least more observant. They're able to see stuff. And I tell you what, we always get, maybe you've experienced this, a kid will do something clever, and you'll go, oh, how smart. And the kid looks over at you going, not really. I mean, like, everybody in my grade could do this. This isn't difficult. I've got some family like that. Every time a kid does something that shows any level of intelligence, oh, wow. And like the kid will leave the room, seriously, you should have them tested. They're super intelligent. And I'm like, he literally just said chicken nuggets properly. It's fine. It's fine. Now, again, I think they're smarter than we give them credit for. I think they're super observant. And we need to understand that's bad for us. Because they'll see what you're doing. They'll pick up on it. And I'll tell you what, inconsistency is the worst parenting tool you could ever have. And again, well, brother, my kids are graduated. They're out of the home. They've got kids, and their kids have got kids. Yeah, you see, they still see. The grown-up kids still see. Well, Dad, you say this, but look at that, and we need to live clean lives. And not just for the sake that they can see it. We need to live clean lives so that they know how to live clean lives. We need to have integrity so they can see how to have integrity. So, you know, when we value honesty over our own benefits, they'll learn that. Well, hey, listen, you know, every now and then the kids will have something that they'll do and they'll be struggling with something. Hey, listen, let me tell you a story about what happened to Dad. I was in kind of a situation like that. This is what I did. Well, Dad, isn't that the wrong thing to do? Yep, blew right up in my face. So what do you think we ought to do? Oh, we shouldn't do that. We should do this. That's wonderful. That's a great idea. Do that. Right? By the way, here's what the Bible says about it. You're absolutely right. We need to teach them. Whether they're kids, whether they're adults, it does not matter. Our families rely upon us to not have sin in our lives, because it hurts them. It is a detriment to them. We need to live the proper kind of lives, and it's not just to our children, whether they be kids or adults. It works well within the spouse as well, right? If I've got some deep, awful sin, it's going to affect my wife. He built that ark for the preservation, for the salvation of his family. Now, let me get this straight. I don't want any doubt on this. Good behavior does not save you. Being the best you can does not save you. But if I've got a choice on something to teach, it needs to be that. You act right. And let me show you how, not just with my words, but with my actions. It's like that story that's told about the dad who gets pulled over. The guy goes, sir, do you know why I pulled you over? The guy goes, no. 5-year-old in the back, daddy was going fast. Yep. Anything else? Daddy was going around the lanes going whoosh, 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 whoosh. Guy looks in the rearview mirror, gives his kid a look. Cop goes, anything else? Dad goes, no. Kid goes, I just put my seatbelt on now. Don't lie in front of him. The lie you tell to the cop in front of your kid, in front of your spouse, in front of whoever, very rapidly becomes the lie that is told to you. Becomes the lie that is told to you. We teach them dishonesty. Dishonest, we will be there. We create an atmosphere in our home of dishonesty, in our families of dishonesty. The adults around us will catch on to that as well. And it has an effect. It has an effect. Right? So our fear of sin, our respect of sin, our respect of God's judgment upon sin needs to be there for other people in our lives. Needs to be there. A lot of time when you sin, it affects other people. Am I right? When you got the sin of anger in your life, it affects other people. when you got bitterness, envy, strifes, when you've got jealousy, all this stuff, man, that's going to affect other people. That's going to hurt other people. We need to get it together. We need to get it together. All right, so we see because he did this to save his family. Now take a look at what happened as a result. By the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. Now when we see there he condemned the world, Noah didn't make the decision to kill the world. That was God's. But you kind of see, he built this ark. He saved his family. And by living this way, it passed judgment on them. If there's something that you can't do, but I can, would that make you feel bad? Right? Brother Charlie, if there was a pickle jar in your house you couldn't open, and I came over, there might be some men take offense. Probably not Brother Charlie, because he's got a level mind. Also, probably because this is a joking scenario, I'm not entirely sure this is possible. Right? But there it is. You, turkey. Well, no, I've got to have this sin in my life. I have a hard time living without this thing. They don't say sin, but I don't want to give this up. This is expensive. This makes me feel a certain way. Well, did you know there are other things that make you feel good? And if I go out there and I honor the Lord and I respect the Lord and I fear the Lord and I'm happier than you are with this sin, you know, that kind of makes you look like a liar. You don't need those things. You don't have to have those things. Well, it's impossible for us to live without doing this. And there's somebody out there living a life perfectly wonderful without it. It passes judgment on you, isn't it? Maybe the reason why you're not doing it is because you're just not doing it. Maybe there is no real good reason. Maybe the only real good reason that you have so far is that you're really good at making excuses for not clearing it out of your life. For not reaching out and doing better. Well, it's hard for me to get up and do this or that. It's hard for me to do it. You know, there are people who have worse time speaking than I do. Get up and preach sermons make you cry. Oh, that makes me feel bad. It should make you feel condemned a little bit. Should make you feel bad. And Noah himself, now we see that he is part of the lineage that we all share. We see that he is the beginning of a branch of the human race that the Lord Jesus Christ is brought out of. He is now what? Oh, he's in this wonderful position. What a blessing to not only be saved from this horrible flood, but now your life is better. Your life is better without the sin. Your life is better with the service. It's better. But none of that will happen if we're not showing the proper respect for what sin does. If we're not having the proper fear of God. Because that's where we get tripped up. Oh, it's not that big of a deal. Well, I don't think that. Doesn't matter what you think. Doesn't matter what you believe. It's going to happen. Right? Ah, the stove is hot. I don't believe it's hot. We just turned it on. Psst, oh. I tell you about that guy that on one of those videos, those cooking videos. He sat over, he tested the pan on the stove with his fingers. No licking. Just put that on there. No seasoning, just. You look down there, there's these black fingerprints in there where the skin came off. You are a professional chef. They put you on television. Put me on there. I know better than that. It's hot. Yeah, we'll see. Oh, there it is. It don't matter what you think. I like that they were doing that one interview. Well, what if in my worldview you don't exist? Well, then I don't exist. Okay. No matter what you believe, you're going to realize you exist real quick when a motorcycle runs you over or something. You put your hand on a stove. Ow! Things that don't exist don't feel that. You felt that. Guess what? Whether you believe it or not, you exist. Just the same as what's waiting for us on the other side. It exists, whether we believe it or not. God's judgment on our sin exists, whether we like it or not. Our failure in God's eyes when we bring forward precious little in realms of service, those things will come back. So you know what we need to do? We need to look at the things in our lives that are pulling us away and have a little bit more fear of them. Not in a, oh, they're coming to get me kind of a way, but in a, I know what you are, I know what you can do, and you can stay in the cage, right? I see you, and I'm standing over here, right? Respect for our sin so that it doesn't come back. Respect for our laziness and not service so it doesn't come back, right? That was one of the many things that'll make conviction stick. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you for tonight. Thank you for this people that made it out in this weather. Lord, I just pray that you continue to bless them. Lord, be with Gordon Bard there in the hospital. Lord, I just pray that you save him, that, Lord, you heal his body. Lord, help those doctors to figure out what's going on, or, Lord, take the ailment away from him altogether. We're thankful for Sister Sherry's surgery going so well. We pray for Sister Nancy and Sister Bonnie with their surgery coming up. For Sister Ruth Ann with her physical therapy going on right now. Lord, for all those with back, shoulder, feet ailments. Sister Mary, Sister Theta. Lord, all those things that we have going on. There are so many. But Lord, I pray that you work a mighty work among us. Father, we are grateful for the many visitors that we have had over the last 3 weeks. We pray, Father, that you save their souls. We pray, Father, that you add them into our number. And that, Lord, you grow us. Lord, not just numerically, but spiritually. Help us, Lord, to be every bit as strong as we need to be. And Father, right in your eyes concerning our actions. Father, we pray for the business and the things that we're doing with the building. That, Lord, you direct us with wisdom and contractors and knowing what the right decision is. Lord, be with those that are struggling with fatigue and things like that. Lord, we love you. And we know that you are the author of all things, the creator of all things. You are the source of all good things. So that I just pray this, that you know our gratitude and we reveal that to you every day. For its name of Jesus we pray. Amen.